Acts chapter number 11, and I want to read verse 26 for our text today. We're going to look at some other verses in this chapter, but verse 26 of Acts chapter 11, "And when he had found him and brought him to Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." Lord, we thank you today that we have this opportunity that we can assemble ourselves together and worship you. We thank you, dear Lord, today for all the blessings that you've bestowed upon us. We ask you, dear Lord, today that you might guide us and direct us and show us the way that you'd have us to go. And Lord, this morning we ask your forgiveness of any sins that we've committed. We ask today your unction and power that we might send out thy word, that people might know you and come to glorify your Son as their Savior. We ask you now to guide us, to direct us, and let the Holy Spirit have free access to all of our lives. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. What is a Christian? Or maybe a better question might be, who is a Christian? We hear a great deal about the United States being a Christian nation, and I read recently that in the Gallup poll that 78% of Americans consider themselves to be Christian. Now, I seriously doubt that, and I agree with Dr. Robert Jeffries, the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. America, or the United States, would be a great deal different if 78% of our population were Christian this morning. But today, so many believe today that simply being an American, being a citizen of the United States, marks them and makes them a Christian. A lot of people believe today that simply becoming a member of a particular church or denomination makes them a Christian. Many churches today have creeds and classes and then baptism, and many baptize infants today and they baptize them in to the church, but today they do not make them Christians. But many people consider themselves to be Christians because of infant baptism. Matter of fact, I saw an article in today's paper, and I did not read the article, but the headline said, "Serving God Through the Girl Scout." And I've nothing against the Girl Scout, and they certainly make great cookies this morning, but I don't think that's the way and the plan that God has to serve him today. But many people have the wrong idea today about what or who is a Christian. What is biblical Christianity today? Now, the word Christian is only used three times in the Scriptures. It's used here in our text this morning. It's used a little later on in the book of Acts when we find that Festus says that he almost persuaded to be a Christian. And then Brother Peter uses it, of course, in his epistle, where he talks about if any man suffer as a Christian this morning. And as I look at it here in our text today, it primarily was used as a derogatory term, a term today to look down upon people when they were called Christians today. But we find that in our scripture today that the Word of God gives us what really constitutes biblical Christianity, that why these people in Antioch were called Christians. And today, if we look at the Scripture, I can believe that we can see the steps that God leads us today to becoming a born-again child of God, to become a Christian this morning in the strict biblical sense today. And it's very outlined very simply for us in these words today, and it begins in verse number 20, where it says, "And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus." You see, today Christianity and becoming a Christian begins with hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ. It begins with the preaching of the Lord Jesus. And we find that in our text today and in our verse that we look at here in Acts chapter 11 and verse 21, it says, the Lord Jesus Christ today. We many times today want to leave out the word Lord anymore. We don't want to acknowledge Him as Lord Jesus today. I hear a great deal many times about other names of Him, but the Bible says that He is the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is the Lord of lords and King of kings. Brother Peter said on the day of Pentecost when he arose and was preaching to those who had crucified Jesus, he said, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus both Lord and Christ today. We need to understand that He is the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, and we must hear about the Lord Jesus. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as he wrote to that church in the great resurrection chapter, and he told them about how that he had been saved. He said, I delivered unto you first of all that which I had received myself, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, how that He was buried and raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18 that God hath chosen the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, he said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and how shall they hear without a preacher today? And so we must hear about the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. That's the mission that God has called His church to carry out. That's the mission that God has called you and I to this morning, that we are to sound out the word of the gospel, that we are to preach the Lord Jesus Christ into every world today, into every nation this morning. World without end. We today are to begin and end with the preaching of the gospel. That's the mission of the church this morning. I'm not here today to tell you a lot of other things, but today we need to understand the mission of the church is to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not to teach people how to lose weight. It's not to teach people today how to have better manners. It's not to teach people how to read or to write. It's to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the mission that God has sent the church into the world to do. Now, I've nothing against all of those others, but that's not what God left the church in this world to become. We are to invade the world with the message of the gospel. That's what these people did. They got to Antioch and they preached the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. You see, Paul said, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I'm glad somebody preached the gospel to me. I'm glad somebody told me about the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember hearing a sermon, and the title of the sermon was, When the Lights Went Out in the Land of Goshen. And well, the Lord spoke to me, and as the Lord began to speak to me, I thought, no, you're not really talking to me, Lord. You're not really talking to me. But when they got up to sing, they sang five rows back, and I sat five rows back, and the Lord began to get my attention this morning. You see, we must preach the Lord Jesus. We have to preach the Lord Jesus. That's what begins, and that's how a person, first of all, begins to be a Christian. They hear the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ is the only hope of salvation. Jesus Christ is the only hope of the world today. Dr. Bailey Smith, who at one time was the president of the Southern Baptist Convention and a great evangelist and great preacher of the Word of God, was told how that one time he was out in Texas, and he said he was invited by a judge who was a member of the church in which he was preaching, and the judge said, I want you to come down, Dr. Smith. I want you to sit in my courtroom for at least a half a day, and I want you to see what goes on and what real America is like. And so Dr. Smith said, I went down, and I sat in the courtroom for a half a day, and I saw defendant after defendant being brought before this judge for sentencing. And he said, as I sat there and I watched all of this take place, he said, I began to get a picture of what was really going on in the world. And he said, after the morning session, the judge took me back and said, I just want to show you some things. And he began to show him some evidence. He said, he showed me a picture of a young teenage girl, a very beautiful girl. And she'd got hooked on crystal meth. And when she couldn't pay for crystal meth, he showed her a picture of how that she had been beaten half to death by a drug dealer. He showed him pictures of abused children, of many other instances today. And Dr. Smith said, I finally told him, said, Judge, I can't look at any more pictures. He said, you know, Dr. Smith, what I want you to understand is they don't allow me in my courtroom. But he said, when I get them back in my chambers, he said, I tell every one of them, I can send you to school, I can send you to prison, but the only hope you'll ever find for turning your life around is Jesus Christ. I want to tell you this morning, that's the only hope for America. That's the only hope today for this world. That's the only hope for any person today, is to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it begins with hearing about the Lord Jesus. But now, notice what the Bible said in verse 21. There's another step that the Lord takes this morning, and it said, and the hand of the Lord was with them. You see, for the message to be effective today, for the message to have power, for the message today to produce results, something has to take place. The hand of the Lord has to be in that message this morning. You see, we can talk about a lot of things, but we need to understand the power of the message is not in the messenger. The power of the message today is not in the school in which the messenger attended. The power of the message today comes from the Spirit of the living God. Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse number 8, and you listen carefully to what Jesus says in these verses this morning, John chapter 16 and verse number 8, as he's preparing to go and be crucified upon the cross. And he said that when he has come, speaking here of the Comforter, speaking here of the Holy Spirit, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. You see, today the Holy Spirit, as far as I can determine from what Jesus teaches us in this chapter, has three basic purposes and missions in this world. He is to gig the sinner. He is to dig deep down with the message of the gospel and convict the sinner of his sins. He is to guide the saint, and he is to glorify the Savior this morning. And the hand of the Lord today was in the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he began to reprove those individuals today of what was taking place in their life. When he has come, I can't reprove you of sin today. I can tell you that sin is wrong. I can preach to you today about how the hell is hot. But today the hand of the Lord must be in that message today for God to be effective today. He said, of sin because they believe not on me. You see, we need to preach today Jesus so that the Holy Spirit can convict them of their sin. We need to preach the Lord Jesus so the Holy Spirit can dig deep down into their heart and show them their sinful ways today. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father. The only righteousness that a man can have today is through Jesus Christ. Oh, a lot of people think their righteousness is going to be bound up and found in their works or in their church membership or in a lot of other things today. But the only righteousness I have and the only righteousness you have is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And of judgment. Because the prince of this world is judged. We don't hear a great deal about the judgment of God. But I want to tell you today the judgment of God is real this morning. The judgment of God is real today, and it will fall upon individuals if they today do not turn unto the Lord. the hand of the Lord was with them. The convicting power of the Holy Spirit was in the message of the gospel this morning. You see, he brings the message down into someone's heart. I know a man that used to be a disc jockey, and I was talking to him one time, and I said, "Well, how did you get saved?" And he said, "Well, I was a disc jockey in a radio station, and said, used to have a preacher come, and said he'd preach many of the nights that I was there, being the disc jockey in the radio station, and said he'd always talk to me about the Lord. And he said, when he'd come in, he said, I'd always be terrified because I know he was going to talk to me about the Lord. And he said, I wouldn't even listen to him preach. But he said, one night he would begin to preach, and I couldn't get the machine to turn off. And he said, I heard every word that he said. And he said, before he got through, I was beating on the door, saying, I got to be saved. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God was working in his life this morning. You see, the Holy Spirit will go home with you. The Holy Spirit will go to work with you. The Holy Spirit will go anywhere that you go and convict you of what the gospel message is all about, of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. You see, until an individual has been convicted by the Holy Spirit, they'll never be saved. They began with the preaching of the Lord Jesus, and then the hand of the Lord was with them. But then the Bible says something else, and it said, and a great number believe. Very simply, you've got to believe this morning. You've got to believe. Now, there's a great deal of difference in what some people believe and what constitutes biblical believers today. You see, the Bible said the devils believe and tremble today. You see, you really... And what Paul is saying here, or what the Lord is saying here in the book of Acts, is this today, that real belief is believing in the entirety of the Bible. Many people today, if you go to them and say, do you believe in God? Oh, yes, I believe in God. Do you believe in Jesus? Oh, yes, I believe in Jesus. Do you believe in the Bible? Oh, yes, I believe in the Bible. But then you begin to examine things, and you begin to talk to them about other things. Oh, well, I don't think that way anymore. And they don't really believe in the entirety of the Bible. They don't believe in the entirety of the gospel. They just want enough Bible and enough gospel to escape hell and go to heaven, but they don't want enough today to do anything for them this morning. You see, the Bible said that it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. And, you know, we need to be afraid of the Lord today. Somebody said, are you afraid of God? If you're not afraid of God, you're a fool, is all I can tell you today. Somebody said, why would you be afraid of the Lord? I'll tell you what, if you ever see the power of God, if you today experience what God can do to an individual, and you read in the Word of God how that even the ground can open up and swallow people who rebel against God and carry them down into the pit of hell today, and you begin to understand that it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. And I believe as they preach the Lord Jesus, as they preach today the gospel, as the Holy Spirit began to reprove them of the judgment of God that was to come, they became afraid today. And the Bible said very simply, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You get afraid of the Lord, you begin to get a lot wiser today. You get afraid of the Lord today, you begin to get a lot smarter this morning. And these individuals believed the message. They believed in the entirety of the message. They believed that judgment of God would come upon them because of their sin, and their righteousness was not good enough to get them into heaven this morning. Exactly what they believe today. Then there's something else. We're not there yet. The Bible said, and turned unto the Lord. They turned unto the Lord. That is, they repented. Had a fellow tell me many years ago, or several years ago now, that he said, why do people preach about repentance? I said, because it's in the Bible. He said, well, that's Old Testament. I said, well, all I can tell you, Paul said in Acts chapter 17, God commands men everywhere now to repent. I said, now you can do what you want to with that, but that's what the Lord said. We have to repent. We have to turn unto the Lord. That's what it says here. They turned unto the Lord. They repented of our sins. We repent of our rebellion. We repent today of our wickedness, and we turn to God. You know, we just simply throw ourselves on the mercy of God. And that's all you can really do today. What else can you do? You think about it. I read back during the Civil War how that a young man had deserted from his outfit, and he was caught and tried and convicted of treason against the United States and sentenced to death by firing squad. And his mother went to see Abraham Lincoln, the President of the United States, and finally she got in to see him. And he said, "Ma'am, I've reviewed all of these records, and it seems to me that justice has been done." And she said, "Mr. Lincoln, I'm not here asking for justice. I'm here asking for mercy." You see, today we can't ask justice from the Lord today. We have to seek His mercy today. I'm glad that He's full of mercy today. I'm glad that when He looks down, that He's merciful to us. We can turn from our sins and turn unto God. We can say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I've sinned terribly. I'm wicked and evil before You. And God, I know Your judgment awaits for me, and I don't want to spend an eternity in hell. And God, I throw myself upon Your mercy. Would You save me by Your grace?" What else can you do? Nothing. That's it. The Lord can reach down today, and through His grace and His mercy, He births you again into His family. What a wonderful thing God does for us. But then there's something else. There's a change in their lives. Verse 23, talking here about Barnabas, says, "Who, when he came," now he came to Antioch, "he'd heard about what was taking place, and things had begun to reach the ears of the apostles in Jerusalem." And so they decided they need to check this out, and they sent forth Barnabas. That he should go as far as Antioch. That is, they'd heard what was going on in this city. And the Bible said, "And when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad." Now that's an amazing thing when you will read that today. He saw the grace of God. Now how do you see the grace of God? How can you see it today? I think it's like the wind. We may not see the wind, but we can see the effect of the wind. He saw what God had done in the lives of these individuals. He changes people's lives. You see, you see the grace of God because of what He's done in the lives of those who have heard the message of Jesus, who have this morning had the convicting power of the Holy Spirit get a hold of them, who have believed God and have turned unto the Lord. And then God does something in their life that only God can do this morning. Dr. Ed Maccabee told me many years ago when he was pastoring up in Gaffney, South Carolina. And as he was pastoring there, he said that one of these other denominations began to bother one of his church members and said they would come around pretty regular, this man would, and try to convince them that they weren't Christian, they weren't saved, and they needed to come to their church. And so finally he said, "Well, the next time they come, you call me and I'll come over." And he said, so sure enough, a couple of days later, the man called him and he got in his car and he said, "I drove over and said I introduced myself and said this man began to talk to me. And said, he told me I wasn't saved. And he said, then he even got my Bible. And said he picked up my Bible and he was looking through my Bible. And he said, and you wrote all in this. It looked like a bunch of chicken scratching. You wrote here in the Bible." He said, that made me mad. And he said, I jumped up and I grabbed that guy with a tie. And he said, I rolled that tie just as tight as I could up against his throat. And said, "Mister, I want to tell you something. You better be glad I am saved, because I'd whoop you right here if I was. You see, this morning the Lord changes us, doesn't he? That's how you see the grace of God. And you see, today, if there's no change, I'm afraid there's no God. And I see a lot of people today who have no change in their life, who there's nothing different about them than there ever was. But today, the Bible says that these were called Christians first in Antioch. Why? Because they heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because today they were convicted by the Holy Spirit. Because this morning they believed that message and turned unto the Lord. And God changed their lives. That's what makes a Christian today. You know, I begin to wonder too. When we talk about the judgment of God. You know, as all of these people were preaching, and all this preaching was taking place, the Bible said, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. You read a little bit later on when Paul preached. You see, when you preach, some people is going to believe. Some people today is going to turn unto the Lord. But what about those individuals today that hear the message and go away? I want to tell you this morning, that's why the Bible says today, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And if we trod underfoot the blood of the Son of God, how horrible that is today. You see, rejection brings the judgment of God. I read a story in the newspaper not too long ago, I don't remember exactly how long, about a woman who had nearly killed her husband with a kitchen knife. And as I read the story, it was very interesting. It seemed that this man would get drunk and come home, and he would beat her pretty regularly. And she was beaten, and she had a lot of scars where he had beat her through the years. Finally, one day, somebody said, well, why did you snap? She said, I came home. I said, I went in the kitchen and said he had my son down on the floor beating him with a baseball bat. And I've endured all those beatings through the years. And you can do any. He could do anything he wanted to me, but he better leave my son alone. I thought about that's probably the way the Lord feels today, folks. We better leave the Son of God alone. He gave him our sins. He died upon a cross so that God's mercy and love could come unto us. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God after you've trodden underfoot the Son of God today. What is a Christian today? Who is a Christian? Well, the Bible's very plain about it. The Bible's very clear this morning to me. It's not because we're an American. It's not because we're a Baptist. It's not because we're any other denomination. It's simply because we've heard the preaching of the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit of God today has convicted us of our sins, and we've believed that message and turned unto the Lord, and the grace of God has done something in our lives to make us different from what we used to be. What is a Christian today? The Bible is very plain and very clear. And as you look around and people say, I'm a Christian, does it line up with the Word of God? Is the question that must be answered today. All right, if you'll stand together with me, Brother Bruce and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we're together. We ask you to take this very simple message, use it for the honor and glory of Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. In Jesus' name, amen.